Today, I want to talk about how success is really not a six-lane superhighway, but it's really a lonely back road that's bumpy, ton of potholes, a lot of stuff there that can mess up your vehicle of life or your car, and it's definitely not crowded. It's quite lonely.
What if you could reclaim hours of free time each week, create legacy building wealth, and devote more energy to your passion projects without giving up on your career as a life-saving MD? Dr. Vikram Raya is a functional cardiologist, high-performance coach, and real estate expert, is here to give you the tools, strategies, and solutions you need to transform your life, unlock your limitless potential, and achieve greatness, all while freeing up your precious time. Welcome to Limitless MD. Let's dive in.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Limitless MD. I'm your host, Vikram Ryan. Today, I'm going to do a solo cast. I haven't done this in a little while, but I just want to speak to you guys, the listeners, the audience, the people who follow us. I've been through a lot of interesting things over the last 12 to 18 months, and I want to share some of my journey with you and some of my insights, some of my reflections, thoughts, and hopefully it will benefit you guys as well. I'm sure many of you are going through this season of life as I am. So the interesting theme really is, you know, how do we navigate the road of success? How do we keep going? How do we sustain ourselves? How do we have the endurance, the stamina, and the temperance to keep moving forward? So real success does not have streetlights. It's not a six-lane superhighway. It's, you know, a journey that sometimes doesn't have accolades. People are not even applauding you along the way. It's a lonely pathway. And so my goal is, I want to unpack what it looks like to really go through a journey of accomplishing meaningful things, but still feeling like you haven't arrived. And, you know, this has happened in my life in a couple of different ways. I have, you know, four companies that I've been blessed to be part of: Viking Capital, Limitless MD, Vitology Institute, and my latest portfolio company, Moon Pursuit Capital. And really, it's learning to utilize patterns along the way, and we'll talk about patterns, but I essentially identifying these patterns of successful companies, successful businesses, but also identifying the patterns that a person who is successful is going through and how they thrive on this lonely road. And so that brings me to a famous quote by Robert Frost, a phenomenal poet that many of you know, and it's his Two Paths poem, right? He talks about two paths diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled, and that, my friends, has made all the difference, right? So let's contrast this. So those people on Instagram or YouTube or people you know, you're seeing the end results of perhaps, quote unquote, their success, or their success is possibly even manufactured, right? The real success, as you guys know, is getting punched in the face, getting up, risking your own life savings, your reputation, many years toward a goal, ambition, or dream. Perhaps you're an entrepreneur doing this and you doubt yourself. There's crisis. You have to overcome all these things. You're not even sure you're on the right road or not, right? And so I'll give you some examples of some adversities we've had to face in Viking Capital. We've really had to go through a couple of years of challenges as, you know, the real estate market has changed in the United States. Cap rates have expanded. There's a lot of turbulence in the markets. Right now, it's not a seller's market. It's perhaps more of a buyer's market. There's some oversupply we're dealing with. And there's a lot of macroeconomic issues. You know, the interest rates have risen 500 basis points and they haven't come down in a meaningful way yet. And so really the key really is whatever assets you own, you have to manage them well. And, you know, we were working with a company and they weren't pulling their weight. And we ended up making a bold move to switch asset property management companies in the middle of our, you know, our hold time. And it was a lot of transition, a lot of heavy lifting to do that, but it was the right move because the new company we brought in, they're fantastic. They're amazing. They're on point. It was painful, but a necessary move. And so sometimes, you know, you have to do those things to persevere on the other side. And the longer you delay the right move, the more painful it will become. So, you know, in real estate or in life, you know, if you need to swap horses in the middle of a race, it's okay. Just know that there's consequences, but if the consequences are worth it, you still do it. And then, you know, we started off more of a retail investment arm. We really were taking care of high income professionals and folks like us. You know, we were physicians, my partner and I, and we were taking care of other physicians. And you know, as we expanded, we had other investors. But really, we realized the goal, if we had to scale the company, is, hey, how do we get maybe different types of capital, buckets of capital, if you will? And so now we started looking into family offices and registered investment advisors and small institutions and then medium-sized institutions and large institutions. And so after 10, 11 years of running Viking Capital, we're adding an arm of Viking that's called Elevate Institutional Partners to really help cater to that other side of the investment pool, where these bigger checks can live and they can partner with us as we start approaching more of an institutional platform of where Viking is evolving into. And the way I think about it is, you got to think, I used to think in, like, you know, 30 day, 60 day, 90 day increments. And then I started thinking 1 and 3 year increments. Honestly, the most successful people I know, they start thinking in 10, 15, 20, 30, 50 year increments, even like 100 year increments, right? Like, there's a 100 year plan for a lot of Japanese companies, right? And so it's those folks who have a longer time horizon, that's when they can really forecast and unpack their capabilities and have time for compounding to take effect, so they can become epic, you know, companies or make epic progress in something. You know, people say there's a 10,000 hour rule. I would say the 10,000 hour rule is probably just a starting point. It's not the ending point. If you really believe in mastery, you need to go all out, right? So maybe it's instead of a 10,000 hour rule, it's a 100,000 hour rule, right? But very few people want to go on the journey. So, and as I move on to, you know, the theme here is the back roads, right? And the lonely roads. And so one was Viking, the second was Limitless MD, right? This was really a passion project of mine where, you know, I always wanted to help others. It's been in my DNA from the very beginning. I always remember, like, you know, in school, I would always like find out anyone who has a problem or challenge. I'm like, hey, what's going on? What's going on? How can we help? Have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? And honestly, if I had to be truthful with myself, I find it easier to solve other people's problems than my own sometimes, right? Because you have this third party frame or viewpoint, and you know, it's easier to give advice than to take it. And so perhaps that's really why I was, you know, out there helping people. But I enjoyed it. The other interesting thing I found that I possess is unparalleled ability to see the highest and best version of others before they themselves see it. And my goal is to pull that version out of them and show it to them and say, hey, here's your potential. Let's help you get there. And so it was only a matter of time before I probably either accidentally or intentionally got into coaching, right? And thankfully, I've been coached by some of the, you know, best people on the planet, and they poured a lot into me. And so, you know, as Isaac Newton says, you know, we're only here and seen so far because we're standing on the shoulders of giants. I've stood on a ton of giants' shoulders to even be able to see where I am right now. So that being said, during the pandemic, when I had an opportunity to really help a lot of physicians who are struggling, you know, with the volatility and the dislocation in the industry, I was able to help provide some guidance and some solace and some strategic advice. And one thing led to another, and I started Limitless MD, the coaching company. And, you know, initially didn't have any plans to make it, you know, scalable. I just thought this was like a side project, a pet project. And pretty soon I realized, you know, one-on-one is not enough. And so had to make a tough transition to go, just instead of one-on-one, how do I do masterminds and cohorts? And I didn't understand how to do that. So I had to learn and try to figure things out. I had to model best practices from other folks. A lot of growing pains. We made mistakes along the way, but we learned as well. And also I learned to lean on my team. First, I had to create the team, right? Then I had to lean on the team. And now we found that it's better with our physician-led coaches. Instead of just doing quick hits and sort of buzzworthy or Instagram-worthy success, we really dove into transforming the physicians and our clients from the ground up. And we really built a strong foundation of what's possible for them. We helped them with their mindset, intrinsically, so they became transformed. And instead of just quick dopamine hits, we've really shifted the trajectory of the life that they're on to where they're going to live a 5x, 10x, 30x life, right? And really lifestyle design, the whole bit. And so super proud of the success of a lot of these Limitless guys and a lot of clients and the team, you know, to get there. But, you know, with as Viking, as Limitless, there was times where questions, is this worth it? What am I doing? You know, is this the best use of my time? What is this all for? You know, and you have to ask these existential questions. It's part of the process. Because remember, no one is telling you, hey, you're on the right path. Good job. Keep going. You don't know. You're sort of doing something for the first time, especially if you're an entrepreneur or a solopreneur or a wannabepreneur or a doctorpreneur, right? And you're doing this on your own. And we'll talk about haters. We'll talk about a lot of other things along the way, you know? We'll talk about crises. So the next back road I want to share with you is Vitalogy, right? Vitalogy, one of my earliest companies I started, and that was a functional medicine, cardiometabolic wellness company where my goal was, how do I reverse disease? How do I, you know, for 8 years, I was helping people take medications and do stress tests and do all these things once they already had disease, right? My goal was to stabilize it and mitigate it, but could I go upstream? That was the question. Can we go upstream and completely stabilize them initially and then reverse it ultimately? And we ended up doing that, right? And over the 4 or 5 year period that I ran this clinic, it was one of the best experiences of my life. I wouldn't trade it for the world. It was such a rush to go into the to my clinic and meet all these unique individuals and then give them the power to reassert themselves in their own healthcare journey. And they really loved it. Like, between elevated, really advanced biomarkers that we used to use and like, you know, whoop bands and aura rings and, you know, next level protocols and cutting edge physical techniques, such as something called the New Fit, which is a next gen electrical stimulation to help with pain and to help enhance muscle recovery. I mean, we really were doing some cool things in the clinic, and all these people had complete life transformations. And the cool thing is, I've actually met many of these people even many years later, and I would say 75% of them, the changes stick because we went deep. We helped them change their identity first, and then their viewpoint of how to live and why to live in that way versus, hey, what do I need to eat next week so I can make my, you know, weight loss goal, right? So at the beginning, one of the challenges was authentic, like with marketing and sales. Like as a physician, I never learned that. It's not part of our DNA, right? We just assume patients are going to come to us. But since I was not in the insurance system, I had to learn. And so I did dinner seminars, I did webinars, I did all of this stuff. And it was new to me, and it was painful. It was frustrating. But it was valuable because it served me so well in other categories, right? What I learned, there's something called idea synergy, right? What you learn in one industry can apply to others. And so what I learned at Vitalogy, I learned to apply in Viking. And what I learned at Viking, I was able to apply to Limitless. And what I'm learning at Limitless, I'm going to apply to the next company I'm going to share with you guys, Moon Pursuit Capital, right? So I have a buddy of mine who asked me to be an advisor in one of his companies. And I would love to help him, and did that. And he was a very successful trader and early adopter of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. And it's something that I was, you know, to be honest with you, super skeptical about. The whole concept didn't make sense. I didn't understand the use case. And I didn't think institutionally that this was going to be a major asset class. And, you know, honestly, this is why we live a long life, because our opinions can change. I see where this is going, and I see the potential value of this of cryptocurrency, and the use cases are starting to emerge. And, you know, right now, if you bought crypto, I don't know, 20 years ago, and you held on to it, you'd probably be retired permanently by now, because the value has gone from probably sub $1 to now, I think the latest I saw it is one Bitcoin is now worth $111,000, right? So, you know, the key really here is, like, you know, as I'm used to be the one running my companies, right? This is the first time where I was an advisor, and there's already a CEO, a visionary. There's already, you know, a little bit of a team that I was helping grow. But, it was interesting at this role. And I really liked it because, you know, I'm not in the weeds, I'm not in the day-to-day, but I know patterns, right? And there's three types of patterns out there. And pattern recognition, right? Like seeing the structure and the chaos. This is like an entrepreneur's sixth sense. I can see the patterns. I understand what all businesses need, what is the commonality of all businesses, and what's the uniqueness of all businesses. Once you recognize patterns, then the next second part is to utilize the patterns, right? You want to borrow the winning frameworks and then leverage existing success for future success, right? And then once you've done that long enough, then you want to create your new patterns. And this is where innovation equals mastery. And this is where you eventually go from following the pack to leading the pack, right? And the way I think about this is, you know, I have the 3I methodology that I coach all my clients on, right? We imitate at the beginning, right? Then we iterate and we improve and then we innovate. So similarly, so we're in the imitate and iterate thing for Moon Pursuit as it's only about, you know, 12 to 18 months old, the company, but we've really made big strides. We're into a lot of cool different technologies. And we're not, we're also diversified, you know, in not just in one coin or one strategy, one trading strategy. But it's very cool that I'm learning to use thought leadership from other companies here. I'm learning to use the tech stack. For example, the tech stack for a lot of these companies is the same. Like we use some type of CRM agent, whether that's Go High Level, if you're a bigger company, Salesforce or HubSpot, right? And then you need some CRM tool. You need some project management tool that could be Monday, Asana, Trello, and things like that, or Microsoft Teams and systems. Then you need a communication tool like Slack versus Teams. You need some kind of telemeetings strategy, Teams versus Zoom. And then you can decide, you know, in some kind of investor platform, which is important. So like this, there's similar tech stacks. So when, you know, if you've done this enough times, when you go start a new company, you're like, oh, okay, use this, do this, do this, don't do this. And another thing we run in a lot of my companies is EOS. EOS stands for Entrepreneur Operating System, created by Gino Wickman. He wrote the book Traction. And, you know, there's other books out there like Scaling Up by Vern Harnish. That could be a strategy too, where it's a business operating system you run in the company. But I found that, again, we recognize patterns, we utilize patterns, and now we're creating new patterns. And so that's what it is. And so initially it feels very awkward. Then it becomes mechanical and you're doing it, you know, but then eventually it becomes natural. And another way to consider this is unconscious incompetence, conscious incompetence, conscious competence, and unconscious competence, right? Same concept. So Naval, you know, Ravi Kant says something like, first you imitate, then you innovate, right? So that's exactly what we're doing. And success leaves clues. Your job is to spot them naturally and amplify them, right? And then if anyone tells you success is a straight line, BS, right? There's no straight line in nature. Everything has curves and angles and U-turns, and life is no different. So if you are not having any major catastrophes, crises, or storms, every 90 days, you're probably playing it too safe. You're in something where it's very linear growth, if linear at all, and maybe even flat or stagnant growth, right? And it's not like, you know, when we're achieving these companies or achieving these goals, it's not, you know, the goal itself, it's who we become in the process, right? So if you go to your limits expand. Well, I'll be honest with you. Every quarter would be a luxury. I think I have some type of challenge every 1 to 2 weeks, it seems like, especially in the season I'm in right now. And so the question really is, hey, how do we handle that, right? That seems like a lot. And what happens is each time you handle one of these challenges, crisis, obstacles, hurdles, whatever, you know, you build muscle, you build your leadership muscle, your problem-solving muscle. And so there's like a playbook we've created, sort of a 5-step crisis playbook. One is name the crisis, name it. Like fear that's unnamed is even more scary, right? You got to name it. What is it? Like describe it in detail. Great. Then you shrink the timeline. Hey, how do we come up with a valid solution in 48 hours, right? And then I borrow brains, right? I bring in like my best people and we all solve it together. Back in the day, I didn't have a team. I had to solve everything on my own. Now, you know, I bring in the best of the best. Hey, my president of a company or my vice president here, or, you know, my COO, whatever, like we all come together. We come up with a strategy. Then we narrate the strategy or the game plan to stakeholders, and then we start taking action, massive action, right? That's the key. And remember, the Chinese character for crisis is a mix of danger plus opportunity, right? So inside every breakdown, I think, is a blueprint for your next breakthrough. So remember that, right? Each of these challenges, crises, is an opportunity to grow, to improve, to beat your competition, to learn something new. And so what 5 years ago I used to consider a crisis, today is a text. I send a text because that's so easy for me to solve, right? And so I'm hoping that whatever crisis I'm going through now, 5 to 10 years from now, it will be another text that I can just, you know, send out. So for many of you who are in the arena like I am, you know, I applaud you. But a lot of people, there are critics out there, there are haters, naysayers, doubters, right? And so remember Teddy Roosevelt's quote, the man in the arena. He says, it's not the critic who counts. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, right? If you're getting bruised, you're getting judged, you're getting misunderstood, good, right? That's what hard feels like. You're the one in the arena, right? Everyone else, the critics, the naysayers, the haters, the doubters, they're all sitting in the stands. And so the key really is, if you're having all these people, you're probably doing something right, because only great people who are trying to do great things attract these kind of negativity sometimes, right? And so instead of interacting with those folks, just keep improving your product, keep improving your service, keep improving your company, right? And for every one or two haters that are out there, there's probably hundreds or thousands of people who love you or love your product, right? And sometimes you don't look at, it's hard to even see success. It's invisible success. It's such micro success, you don't even see it. So that's where you start stopping to look at the outcomes, right? In the immortal epic, the Bhagavad Gita, they talk about detach from your outcomes, focus on your duty, and do the actions that are needed to be successful, right? Focus on the process. And so that's really sometimes what I have to lean into. And we've talked about the hard work is lonely. And sometimes there's a lot of inner work that needs to be done, right? You need to steady your mind from consistent years of either negativity, lack of success, slow or stagnant growth, right? Until boom, you have the hockey stick component of absolute success that happens. So, you know, embrace solitude, embrace loneliness. It's okay. And if you enjoy what you're doing, or if you think what you're doing is meaningful for the greater good, keep going, right? And, you know, sometimes here are some strategies that I use to carry the weight, right? Morning discipline, right? I have a morning routine ritual. It sort of grounds me for the day. And, you know, sometimes I lean into it. Like sometimes when I don't have time, that's when I make time to meditate even longer, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, you know. And then normally my workouts are like 45 minutes. Sometimes I need to go an hour and a half because I'm in such a great physiology by the end of it, I can handle life. And breath work is huge, right? Sometimes we breathe so shallow, and doing really good breath work. And as I'm getting older, you know, I'm 47 as you're hearing this, I find sleep something that I used to be able to sacrifice stuff to get to where I am now. I have to do more of it. So I really get into more of a deeper sleep state, and I try to have powerful sleep scores on my Oura Ring because it helps me stay resilient, you know? And then the last thing really is, you know, I review my week on Sundays. I say, hey, where did I fall down? Where did I stand up? How did I do well? And how can I keep getting better? And so there's a guy, Jocko Willink, a Navy SEAL, and he's like a leadership mentor. And he talks about how discipline equals freedom. So by you committing to yourself, committing to your future, committing to your vision, and committing to mastery, you really become a freer person and you can do more things, right? And once you make the decision, they say half the battle is over, right? Half the solution is already figured out. So don't wait for support. And realize that if everyone is supporting you, probably the dream is too small. Remember, the dream has to be bigger than the struggle. So with that said, guys, you know, remember Robert Frost, The Road Less Traveled. Remember Teddy Roosevelt, The Man in the Arena. And don't worry about the haters. Remember, the Chinese character for crisis is danger plus opportunity. And remember the Chinese character for crisis is danger plus opportunity. And remember, the Japanese have this belief that if you fall down 7, you get up 8. And I'll end with this quote by Dr. Michael Haupt. He says, "Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men create hard times." So we're in hard times right now, and I think strong men and women are being created. So let's tie it back, right? Let's, you know, we are this generation that can handle hard times, and we are strong people to do so. And this is what we need to do to make sure our children and their children are going to inherit a good earth. And really, you know, if I had to leave one final thought, it's success isn't about driving faster. It's about staying on the back road long enough to enjoy a view, fix the engine, fix your tires, keep going. The back roads build leadership and drivers. The freeway builds passengers. You guys are drivers. You guys are leaders. So step forward and go for it. And let's do this together. If you ever want to reach out, if you need any support, put in the comments below or go to our website, vikramraya.com. And thank you for listening, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Limitless MD. If you found value from this episode, I encourage you to share this episode with a friend and let me know by leaving a review. For more information, make sure you check out the links in the show notes below or simply visit vikramraya.com. Until next time, be phenomenal.